It's quite a eerie feeling to be in court, even if you're the observer, and to have somebody sitting there in court that you know and hear all of the arguments, and then to hear the gavel come down and pronounce a person guilty, and then be sentenced. There's a story of a man, we'll just call him John. And John was a diligent man, but ran into a lot of troubles in his life. He had kind of a mediocre job, and like many people are facing today, he didn't have any health insurance, and he had three grade school age children, and his wife came down with a debilitating disease. Indeed, it was a dilemma, for he had to care for his children and increasingly care for his wife and still put food on the table and clothing on the bodies of his wife and children. He had no extra money. Any money that he did have literally went to the prescriptions and costs of his wife's disease. And inadvertently, over a two-year period, he had gotten a number of traffic tickets, many of them for parking out in his own, in front of his own apartment, but in a zone that shouldn't be parked in. But he would load and unload his wife there from her different doctor's appointments, and had been ticketed a number of times as the ages, or as the days, as the months went on. And as will happen in most municipalities, the municipality said enough is enough. He hadn't paid the tickets. He had no extra money to pay the tickets. He figured that he should buy his wife's meds instead of pay the tickets. And so he was, they swore out a warrant for him. They arrested him, and they took him into court. And the judge heard the case, and frankly, John pleaded guilty. He said, those are my tickets, and I parked there, and I'm not denying the fact. And so the judge sentenced him to a $300 fine or 30 days in jail. He had $9.42 to his name at that point. And he was in a real dilemma, because there was no way for him to be able to come up with the $300. But there was no one else to care for his wife, and there was no one else to care for his children if he spent the 30 days in jail. And he pleaded with the judge. And the judge says, you have been convicted, and it has to be $300 or 30 days in jail. One or the other. What a dilemma it was. He didn't have the money on one hand, and he didn't have anybody who could care for his family or his children on the other hand. He had no family present. What was he to do? However, the judge, knowing that he must uphold the law and that justice must be served, and yet on the other hand being a compassionate man, he reached into his pocket and pulled out three crisp $100 bills and paid the man's fine. Friends, that's justification. Take your Bible and turn, not your Bible, but take your hymnal and turn with me. The title of my message today is Jesus Paid It All. I want you to know that myself and every single solitary person sitting in this auditorium, we are all guilty sinners. And the judgment of God is on our hands and on our head. And we all deserve to go to hell, and yet we cannot pay. We do not have the wherewithal to pay. Jesus paid it all. Look carefully at the words. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Verse 2. "Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone." Verse 3. It says, "For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb." Verse 4. "And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall e'er repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain, he washed it white as snow." We all have a sin debt before God, my friends. And Jesus paid it all. Now, there's some people who think they can pay it. You can't pay it. The price is too high. Let's start with the working definition of justification. Justification is a legal term. And it means to declare righteous. As you see in your notes, justification is God's declaration that those who trust Jesus Christ are perfectly righteous before him. It is a legal concept when a judge gives a verdict. God is the judge. And it is his law that has been broken. We have sinned against his law. Before you and I are saved, God declares that we are condemned sinners. After I come to Christ, God declares that I am righteous because of what Christ did for me on Calvary. Justification is being brought into a new spiritual position before God. The believer is no longer a part of the household of Adam, and the believer has entered into the blessed household of Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified," being declared not guilty because Christ paid the price, "therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." You know, I like the illustration that Dr. Warren Wiersbe gives of justification in one of his books. And here is the true story. It seems that there was a man in England who put his Rolls Royce on a boat and went across the English Channel for a holiday. And that's what they call a vacation over there, a holiday. Went on holiday. And while he was driving around Europe, something happened to the motor in his Rolls Royce. He cabled the Rolls Royce people back in England and asked, "I'm having trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? Well, the Rolls-Royce people flew over a mechanic, and the mechanic repaired the car and flew back to England and let the man continue on his holiday or his vacation. Now, as you can imagine, the fellow was wondering, man, this is going to cost me a bundle. They had to fly somebody over here, had to fly somebody back. They fix it. How much is this going to cost me? So when he got back to England, he wrote to the people at the Rolls-Royce company, and he wrote a letter and asked them how much he owed them, and he received the letter from their office that read, "Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with the Rolls-Royce." Now that's justification. And how so? You know, God sees the believer as righteous because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. Jesus paid it all. We are worthy of death. We are worthy of hell. We are worthy of condemnation. We are worthy to suffer the torments of the lake of fire for all of eternity. But Jesus Christ paid the price, and that is imputed or added to our account. And when God looks at the believer who has been justified by Jesus Christ, there is no record of any sin on our account. Friends, what a blessing. What a blessing. Now, the question is why do we need to be justified? Well, I've kind of alluded to it, but about 10 years ago, George Barna, any of you have heard of him? He's a Christian pollster. He takes polls like the Gallup poll. But Barna found that 74% of Americans strongly agreed with this statement. God will judge all people. 74% of Americans 10 years ago agreed with the statement that God will judge all people. You know what? 100% of them ought to agree with it because He will judge all people, whether you think so or whether you don't. Now, how do I know that? Back to the book. Friends, this is the book of books. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 12, we read this. It's not here by accident. We all are accountable. And it says in Romans 14 verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself." No, I should read that right. "So then everyone of us shall give account of himself to God." That means me and him and her and her and him and him and her and him, her, her. That means every one of us is going to be judged by God. Amen? It is. And the pollster was right. And the people who answered, the 74% of people who said, yes, God will judge all people, they were right. And the people who said, no, He's not going to, they were wrong. Another one, if you would, Hebrews 9:27. We know this. But in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27, we read these things, getting down to verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ," verse 28, "was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto him that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation." But the first part, "it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." We need to be justified because we will come before God and be judged by Him. And the big problem is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, friends, I've told you before, but I want you to listen. We're sinners by nature. We're born sinners. And then when we get past the little kid stage, we become sinners by choice and we choose to sin. Two times we are sinners. Sinners by nature or by birth and sinners by choice. And that puts us in a precarious situation. That puts us in line to be judged guilty before God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, years ago I preached a sermon called The Four Nuns. And we read, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Think about that. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats is an open sepulcher. And their tongues, with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps, that's a snake, is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's an unretouched photo of an unsaved person, friends. Miserable. Guilty. Under condemnation. The reason that people need to be justified is that they are guilty sinners condemned to a Christless eternity in hell. And if there is not something done, they will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. So how can we be justified? How can we be justified? Job asked the question in Job 9:2. You don't need to turn there. How should a man be just with God? There are many religions that teach and many people that believe good works and law keeping will bring about justification before God. I can't help. In my mind, so many times since I've been at Rome, there's a picture in your notes. It's a color picture in my notes, a black and white picture in your notes, but there's a picture there. And this is Scalia Sanctum, the holy stairs in Rome, supposedly. But they exist there. And people from all over the world come, and they come here, and they have been taught, though erroneously so, that these are the same steps that Jesus Christ walked up when he was before Pontius Pilate. Therefore, they say that these are holy steps. And if you will get on your hands and your knees and pray and climb these 28 marble steps, that you will then induce God to declare that you are just and righteous. And I say, no! But there's a lot of people today keeping religious laws and religious traditions and religious observances, and they are very sincere. The problem is that they are sincerely wrong, because Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live by what? Faith. Rah! And I see people coming. Very religious people, and they cross themselves. And throughout my lifetime, I've heard people that do all of these religious works and they think that somehow this is going to incite God to justify them thinking that these good works that they're doing is a part of their salvation. I want to tell you that when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood and rose again from the dead, the price was paid! Ugh. Turn with me, you know it, but turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Aren't you glad if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for the day that the scales dropped off of your eyes and you discovered that your good works could not save you and that Jesus Christ was your only answer? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So back to the question. How can we be justified? We had a lady who attended here for quite some time. I still keep contact with the husband and wife from time to time. She was a former nun. And they gave her a little whip. And what she would do in the privacy of her own room would be to strip her back bare and beat herself bloody with the whip, thinking that she was paying for her sins. Is that how we're justified? No. We read a few minutes ago, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified, now look at the next word, freely. Doesn't mean it didn't cost something. It means that it's free to us. It cost Jesus Christ, friends, but it's free. You can't whip yourself to get it. Give money to get it. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that were passed through the forbearance of God. Praise God. We must remember that we are totally helpless to affect any portion of our justification. It is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ in His resurrection that justification is made available. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, just over a little bit. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses. Look at that now. Jesus Christ, that's the who was delivered for our offenses and raised for our what? Justification. Justification. Now, here's what this verse is saying. Listen, I'm trying to put it down right where you can grab hold of it. Christ added up the penalty demanded for man's sins and gave Himself as an equivalent, paying the price on Calvary's cross. Just like the judge who must convict the man $300 or 30 days, and He reached into His own pocket. The God of the universe saw that we were lost and that there was no way out. There's nothing we could do. We were totally helpless. And His only begotten Son added up the price of what it cost for our sins, and He paid it there on the cross of Calvary. As Sal pointed out, He didn't pay for it in hell. It says in the Bible, or the Apostle Creed, that He descended into hell and all that kind of stuff. But actually, He went to make an announcement He had already paid the price. I like what it goes on to say. God showed that He accepted Christ's payment by raising Him from the dead. And now Jesus Christ, my friends, is living proof that the payment has been made and has been credited to our account, those of us who are believers. The fancy word is imputed. Can you imagine it? I've told you before, but what did Christ get out of it? He got all of our sins laid upon Him, all of the sins of all of the people. It was laid on Him. Is it any wonder why He cried out, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Here He was, the pure one, and all the sins of all the world are laid on Him. And then He cried out, as you'll remember, on the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." What was finished? Our salvation was paid for in full, friends. And when we trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior, His righteousness is put on our account. And when God looks at us, He sees us through the blood. And we can come into His presence and be heard because Jesus paid it all. You didn't do a diddly. Not a thing. So what's the benefit of justification? I've got to move along quickly here. First of all, there's forgiveness of all sins according to Acts 13, 38 and 39. So turn with me back to Acts if you would. Acts 13, verse 38 and 39. It says, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that's Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the," what? "Forgiveness of sins. And by Him all that believe are," what? "Justified," declared not guilty, because of what Christ has done. "And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Do you know what? You could do your best your whole life to try and keep the Ten Commandments. And you know what? Even if you offended just one time, you know what? You wouldn't be justified. You'd be guilty of it all, James chapter 2. Praise God. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not guilty because of what Jesus Christ has done. Number two, freedom from condemnation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 1 and then look at verse 33 and 34. It starts out in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 8, in verse 1. You know it. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now verse 33 and 34 of the same chapter. With that as a context, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? What a blessing. Look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Now, I got to back up just a little bit because I forgot to read verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that, what? Justifieth. God is the one who pronounced us not guilty because of what Jesus Christ has done. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is what? Nobody. Amen. Who would want to be unsaved? Who would want to stand before the judge and stand there in his own righteousness and come before God and say, well, I tried to do this and I was religious and I tried to do that. And God's going to have to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Number three, we have peace with God. As we have seen in Romans 5:1, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, no longer His enemies. And then finally, I love it, believers are assured of living with God for eternity. While we're in Romans, turn to Romans 8:30, and then we'll look at Titus 3:7 in a minute. Romans 8 and verse 30 says this, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also, what? Glorified. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. Now, friend, have you been justified? I want you to know that all of us here begin on the same level. We are all sinners, every single solitary one of us sitting in this auditorium. The only difference between you and me is justification. The only difference between you and many of these people in the auditorium is justification. Because we all admit that we're sinners, do we not? We're all on the same page there. And there isn't a single solitary one of us who've made ourselves righteous, friends. Not one. Not one! But Jesus did! When we put our faith and confidence in Him. But you know, I want to tell you something. It's a big difference. There's a big difference between those who are justified and those who are not, because they are those who are glorified and those who are damned. And I want to be on the glory road. And I am on the glory road. Not for what I've done, but for what He has done and what's been recorded in this book. You can be on the glory road too. Why would you want to stand before the judge penniless, helpless, and hopeless with nothing to say except, I'm guilty! When you can stand before the judge and plead Jesus and His blood. When I stand before the Bema seat, I'm not going to plead anything good for me. I'm going to say, Jesus paid it all.